First and family, what is going on? How are you guys today on this Friday, Q&A, fam jam? I don't know. What are we calling it today? What's going on, everybody? It's Friday, so we're here doing the thing, hanging out with you guys. Hope you guys are having a good Friday. Anne, are you having a good Friday?
This is the segue so that he can stop and take a drink.
You picked up on that? You picked up on my cue? I just chucked that over the plate and knocked it out of the park. I appreciate you, babe. You are a fantastic partner.
Team player.
In crime. Team player. Co-founder. Wife. Love of my life. All those things. And no, fam, I'm not in trouble. That's not why I'm being nice. I just feel it in the bottom of my heart today. Anna Patterson's here. She says, hey, I am actually, you actually made it on time.
You did.
So did we. We're pretty surprised that we made it on time today, too.
But this is why we say 5:30-ish, right?
Ish, 5:39 is close. You guys know how we roll.
Murphy.
Oh, shit.
Murphy. Who's hopped up on pain meds.
Murphy, how many milligrams and of what are you on right now? If you're joining us here with that surgery recovery thing going on, I know it's going to be a good issue. This fam jam's about to be lit, yo.
Oh, God. I'll get him out of this one day.
Is that what the kids... Is that how the kids are saying it these days? I don't know.
One day, he'll let the dad jokes go.
What fucking kids am I talking about? I'm ancient. But y'all, it is Finn Live.
Murphy's already laughing.
How are you guys doing? We actually have some amazing questions today. And I'm glad because, full disclosure, I haven't checked the post to see if anyone asked anything. It's been one of those kind of Fridays today. A little bit crazy. A little bit by the seat of our pants. But we had some come in through the DMs and through the EMs. That's email. I'm getting hip with it. For all you guys today. So we got some good questions today. It's going to be fun. And Murphy, there will be plenty of things for you to LMAO at about. She said, only 5 milligrams of oxycodone, so it's fine, I'm fine, everything is fine.
I bet it is.
I bet you're feeling great right now. Follow those dosing instructions, because that shit can get gnarly. Ask Greg about how that rolls, right? How them oxys roll.
At least they got you something good after surgery, though, so hopefully you're feeling no pain.
I hope you're feeling no pain, feeling fine, feeling great, digging that badass scar you're going to be rocking, and when it's bikini season coming up, it's going to be good. So guys, we got a lot to talk about today. We want to dive right into it because...
I'm checking the post just to make sure, but no, we didn't miss anything.
Good. Okay. Well, you guys don't have anything to ask us. That's great.
Moving on.
We do have some questions, and I'll be honest with you guys, we got a hot date tonight. We're very excited for date night tonight. So if I'm going a little bit extra fast, it's just because I can't wait to hang out with this one over here. And popcorn has nothing to do with it. So let's get it started. Let's get it on. One of our members who is very near and dear to the fam, Kelly Mulder, asked some questions in her email. And she told Anne if she wanted to address them on the live, that would be good because maybe some other people have these questions. So I don't like the order I put these in. Let's hold that thought.
So we're going to switch.
We're going to switch.
Okay.
Pretend you didn't see that. If you're listening on the podcast Finn Live app, just pretend I'm crazy. That's not hard to do. Let's talk about how do we measure body fat? Or as I like to call it, do I look lean to you? And that's a good question, right? Kelly asks, because she's over in Japan, overseas, and doesn't have convenient access to a reliable way to gauge body fat. And by reliable, I don't mean that bioimpedance thing. I don't mean calipers. I mean like some gold standard shit like a DEXA or an MRI, which good luck paying for an MRI just to find out what your body fat percentage is. But if you really want to know, MRI is like the platinum standard, but a DEXA is a gold standard. She said, outside of those options, what is a good way to measure body fat? And I kind of got a little cheeky with that. Do I look lean to you? But really, it's do you look lean to you, right? That's how we really want to measure body fat. Because as someone who has access to a DEXA and who's ran a couple scans, I'll tell you that number doesn't mean anything. I live my life You know, a year apart, Dex had 7.9, jumped all the way up to 8.1 or 8.2, whatever the second one was. I live year-round in the single digits, but that number's not important to me at all. What's important to me is how I look, how I feel, how I perform, how my clothes fit, all these things like that. So if I didn't have a DEXA, how would I know if I was lean, or how would I know if I was getting leaner? And the answer is we'd use these eyeballs right here. How do you look in the mirror, right? How do you look in your clothes? How do you look out of your clothes? Because that's really a good indicator there. But more importantly, how do you look in your photos? What do your progress photos show? Because sometimes when we use the eyeballs, the brain sees what it wants to see, and we don't always get to see the naked truth, if you will. But those photographs, when put next to each other, when held side by side with an emoji over your face, you can kind of take the brain out of the equation. You can kind of really analyze specific parts of your body. The more trained you are to do this, the more you can notice things, you can look for certain areas, you can highlight things, you can actually layer photos on top of each other, you can do all kinds of things. But how do you look is not only the best indicator of your leanness, or if you are getting leaner from a point before, but it's also what matters a whole lot more than a percentage. You know, body fat percentages can look completely different, and I don't think a number matters nearly as much as what you think that number represents. But the great thing about taking photos is our memories, I don't know if you're aware of this, guys, but they're fallible. We may not remember what we looked like 6 months ago. God, I shudder from what I looked like before I started this whole thing. I've forgotten all about that, right? When I remember myself at, you know, on the aisle, walking this one down the aisle, I look good. Then I see those pictures and I go, oh, son, what you doing? Why'd she marry you? But photographs are a great way to tell. Sorry, something on my leg. I have to take care of that.
Stand by
for a thought. The other thing that you can do is you can start looking for signs of increased leanness or decreased body fat. And what I mean by that, primarily inches, how clothes fit, stuff like that. But the one I like to use is actually playing the vein game. And not I'm so vain, but I mean like veins, like veins in your arm. Sorry, I can't get my arm in the thing. Like veins in your arm, veins in your legs, you know, veins in places you haven't seen veins before. An increased appearance of peripheral vascularity is almost a rock solid indicator that you are getting leaner. So if you are seeing veins in places you have not seen them before, that is a great indicator that you are getting leaner. But once again, it comes down to appearance. I really think photographs, take them in the same location, in the same lighting, in the same level of dress or undress, and compare them to each other is going to not only be the best way to gauge your leanness, but also the most accessible and the most important. The number never makes you feel better. It's the outcome. It's the end result of achieving that number. You had a good point about body fat.
Yeah, I mean, so the problem with getting a DEXA scan or anything that will give you a number to watch trending for with body fat, you get attached to that number. And you see these ranges where you're this percentage if you're average, and this percentage if you're this, and this percentage if you're that, and here is the unhealthy percentage. The problem is it doesn't take into account your lifestyle and what you look like. So you think in your head you want to be a certain number. You want to be a certain percentage body fat because you think you will look a certain way at that percentage, which is fine. What you have to understand is you may not. So you can be very low body fat and still not be the shape that you want to be or the composition you want to be. Hey, I want muscles and I want to have low body fat so I can see them, but I don't lift. Probably not gonna look the way you wanna look even if you see that number. So that number can really be a little bit of a mind game if you don't understand what it's measuring and how you're going to look. So I would take looks, progress photos any day over whatever number a DEXA says or any kind of scan.
Once the metric you use to measure progress becomes the goal, it is no longer a reliable metric. It is flawed, and it becomes a pursuit and no longer a unit of measure. Too much gets attached to it, and it can no longer remain objective and impartial, which is what it's designed to do. So I'm kind of one of those things, like, what do we really want here? Do we want to have a interim measuring contest so we can see how lean we get? Oh, woo, great, good for you. Or do we want to feel better, look better, move better, feel great in our birthday suit? If we want those things, then let's measure those things. Let's take a look at those things first. So I really think outside of a DEXA, outside of an MRI, the only way to reliably know if you're getting leaner is take a look at yourself. And then also ask yourself, do you like what you see? Because that has a lot to do with what Ann said in terms of a body at X percent that lifts versus a body at X percent that doesn't. It's probably going to look drastically different. So we want to make sure that we're putting the work in to reach the outcome we want. So I hope that helps. We got some comments in here. Okay, Murphy's letting us know.
Every 6 hours.
That is a long gap between those medications. I'm sure they said you could take rotating NSAIDs and naproxen and all that stuff, but that ain't gonna touch what you're going through. Man, I hope you get better soon. My man right here, Tom Sangiacomo, says, all right, what's up, kids? Spoken like a man on vacation, making the house regret he walked into the casino.
Dude, you in those casinos,
bro. I'm telling you what, man. Amazing. Val is here. What's going on, Val? How you doing? We're just talking about do I look lean to you? I don't know. Does this shirt make me look lean? I guess is what I'm saying. I don't know. So moving on.
Part two.
Back to the question that I asked first. Kelly asked again, and this is a good one, guys. I want to key in on this one. How lean is too lean? And what Kelly asked here is specifically referencing at what state of leanness or at what percentage of body fat or how low is too low in terms of health. When are you going to experience health consequences, and what might those be, and what should you be looking out for? So guys, I have found some numbers here. I know we just talked about how numbers aren't everything, but I found some numbers I want to toss out and then provide some context behind them. What is described as essential fat, meaning the fat needed essentially to remain alive. This is the body fat that you need for hormone production, for all kinds of essential biological processes. And then without this level of fat for a long term, you're gonna risk experiencing some side effects.
Yeah, this is basically the essential, this is the fat you need to live, period. You know, so this isn't like, hey, I want abs, I want to be this lean. This is like...
this is the essential fat you need to live. For women, that is considered 10 to 13%.
That's low, guys.
For men, that is considered 2 to 5%. If you're not sure what that looks like, that is the classic example of a shredded, geared stage competitor.
Yeah.
And what I mean by geared is I mean steroids. I'm talking about the people that are that lean on that one day. They peak to get that lean. They manipulate all sorts of things to get that lean. I'm not going to say that you can't be that lean naturally for a man. But I don't think I've ever seen it. And it's so lean, like, it just doesn't look real. Like, I'm not tooting a horn. I grab my DEXA. I'm around 8%. 5%, I would look like a completely different human. I would look almost like an alien, the level of vascularity that you would see across every possible bit of surface on my body. For me to drop another 3% body fat, that's pretty insane. And it's funny, Amy says, I have that amount in one butt cheek. Coach Amy says that. Guys, to not gross you out, I have palpable, like palpable means you can touch it, all my nurses, my medical professionals, to know what a palpable vein is. I have palpable veins on my butt. Okay, I'm kind of lean. I would look disgusting if I was 2 to 5%.
This level is super lean. This is the level where there's extra supplementation involved. There's a lot of dehydration and diuretic usage happening, and a lot of things that mess with your cognitive abilities at that point to even think or function. So these are levels that you're not going to sustain for very long, at least not in a good way.
You guys think Coach Steve looks lean? Coach Steve ain't 5%. The next range they talk about for women, and this would be probably where you're still going to risk running into some issues.
Yeah, for sure.
Is 14 to 20%. And for men, it's the 6 to 13% range. So, guys, that's what they consider safe-ish. But remember, these numbers don't matter. It's all about you and your body and what your needs are based on a host of factors, not limited to genetic conditions, pre-existing health conditions, but also your activity level. Some activities require a little bit more cushion, a little bit more margin of safety, to where you don't want to live incredibly lean year-round. So that's your numbers. What we're talking about in terms of appearance is freak status. What was your last DEXA, your last deficit?
14.7.
Ann got to 14.7, which is this close, to being on the unhealthy / essential fat level.
And that was at the very end of a deficit. That was the leanest I was going to get. And then it came up a little bit naturally as we added food back in, because that's not, for me, that's not a safe place to live with our activity, with performance, with training. It's not. That's
not doing jiu-jitsu, not doing all these stuff. Yeah. And the thing is Anne was in the deep stage of a deficit. It was temporary. It didn't last that long. And if y'all saw Anne's photos of that time, that was a natural athlete getting very, very lean, knocking on the door of potential health problems. What are these health problems? Why do they matter? The biggest one, guys, you can check out for a minute. The biggest one for women is going to be a cycle.
This is Murphy just brought this up.
Interruptions,
yeah.
or absence of a period. I'm going to catch up some comments and we'll keep going on this one. Murphy says, great question. I wonder that too, especially for women and hormones. We're going to dive into that right now, Murph. Val said, I love this topic. I let the scale mind fuck with me way too often. Ann knows. Val, I might have heard about this once or twice too. We got to worry about that scale. We'll get this taken care of. We'll get this knocked out. Hopefully this helps, because I've seen your pictures. I've seen you in person. Don't tell my wife, but you're looking pretty good. And I don't think you need to worry about that scale as much as you do. And that's okay. We all have these issues. Your entire life you've been told that that scale defines your value. It's going to take some time to realize that may not be the truth. So we got this. FBU in the house, Facebook user. I don't know who you are. Click the link. What link, you ask? This one. You can't click this, though. You got to go back and type this in your browser. But let's see who you are, or just type your name in so I can give you some loves.
If you clicked it before, they do expire, so we're sorry. We don't know how they expire or when. Just got to re-click it.
Val and Murph have some scale hate love.
It's a lot of women.
Yeah, man, I hate that scale too sometimes, guys. But we feel it. We notice it. We move on from it. We can't control the outcomes. We can control the routines, habits, and skills that bring about the end result we want. Yep, y'all scale sisters, I dig it. Now we're back to butt cheeks. Stephanie Hostetler's here. She says she's late, had to put up Halloween directions. I want pictures.
Decorations.
Show me what you did.
Decorations. They could be directions too, but it's fine.
Amy says, man, this makes me feel way better about my booty. Gotta run, gym time.
I'll
catch a replay, love you. Wait, something, love nuggets, whatever.
Whatever. Murphy just say that was Coach Steve, FBU?
Coach Steve could be in another zip code, another area. He's traveling right now, that's fine.
That's true.
Murphy says it's Coach Steve. That's okay. We'll dock his pay today. We'll make sure that he pays for that somehow. Val says, y'all are the best. I totally acknowledge that I have a problem with seeing the old me from 20 years ago. Absolutely, Val. And this is why, one, we have each other. Why we have coaches and outside objective resources. Because it's not that we don't love you as a person. It's that we are literally here to be objective. We are not as attached to you as you are, thankfully, because that might get really awkward. But we're not. So we can help you with that. We can't make the feelings go away. I'll be honest with you. They may never go away.
But there are a lot of other people in here who feel the same way, and we can absolutely talk about it and get into it.
And we are all here working together to combat these issues, and we all know that it's difficult. And that's what it's all about.
It was Coach Steve.
Coach, you're fired, but I really need you, so welcome back to the team. It was the shortest firing ever. Love you, brother.
Shorter than mine.
Well, Steve is what I consider an essential employee, you know what I'm saying?
Nelson, I'm here. Missed the first question that I heard was good. The first question, we're still in part two of it, so you didn't miss the whole one.
Catch that replay. Now, I think you'll dig it. It was awesome. And I'm not saying that just because I answered most of it. But that's okay. So, again, we were just talking about what happens when we get to these super hyper low lean stages where we're doing, we're running potential health risks. The biggest thing we're going to have to worry about here, because I'll be honest with you, men that are taking it to this extreme are competitors. And I would say the overwhelming majority know the risk they're taking, and they probably can't wait to eat like assholes to gain it all back because they're in a vicious bulk and cut cycle. So I'm not thinking men are gonna run into too many problems. However, hormone production is fat-based. Most of your hormones require fat to be produced. These guys are taking a lot of hormones, so it's not a big deal. But everything that requires a hormone in the body is going to be impacted by being super lean, which is why women lose cycles. Let's talk about what getting super lean is, guys. It's called starvation, the way your body thinks. Body fat biologically is an amazing thing. It is literally stored energy. It is like a cooler full of food you carry on your body. It's there to keep you alive when food is not plentiful, like the old bear who hibernates for the winter. It is a wonderful thing in the context of survival. Now, we have all decided it's not that wonderful, and we would like to have whatever degree of it we want, and so we want to get rid of some of it. Fantastic. So as we get leaner and leaner and leaner, not a lot of pushback from the body at first until we start getting quite a bit leaner. And then your body has signals and mechanisms in place to do one thing more than anything else, and that's survive, that's live. So when you start getting super, super duper lean, your body thinks you are literally starving. It doesn't know that Publix is down the street, that you can pull into the Wawa, or that you can swing by Taco Bell when your wife's out of town because she doesn't like it, and you can get yourself, you know, a cheesy gordita crunch and be good anytime you want 24 hours a day. It is still programmed to think hunger, bad, must be starving, save brain, you know, lizard brain thinking and caveman talk, right? So what it's going to start doing is it's going to start shutting down non-essential processes. What do you think isn't a good idea for a starving female to do? I'll tell you, have a baby.
Yeah.
Having a baby, and I'm not mansplaining, I'm just throwing this out here. All you women that have had babies, you can back me up. Having a baby ain't easy. It is a very costly process in a lot of ways,
yeah.
But specifically in this context, in terms of energy. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of calories. Blood volume goes up. You gotta eat more. You're eating for two. Not really. Don't buy that hype. It ain't that much. But it is a very expensive process biologically to maintain a viable birth, to have a child. If you're starving, if you're too lean, the body goes, the last thing we want to do is have a parasite leech even more resources from ourselves, so we will shut down the ability to have a child, which is why you lose your cycle. So, the leaner you get, the larger risk you have of losing your cycle. Now, raise your hand if you're 28 days on the dot every day and you're not taking pills. So how do you know? You may not. What's your doctor going to say? Miss three periods and we'll have a chat.
Yeah, that's typical. So it's, and this is where it gets a little gray area, shady, when we talk about body fat percentages. People focus on percentages a lot and, well, how do I know when I'm too lean? Women are different across the board. So somebody may lose their cycle somewhere even in the low 20s. Some may not lose it all the way down into 10%. We don't know. Everybody's a little different. I will tell you, my deficits at the phase that I'm at and how lean I am, I absolutely will lose it for the last several months. I'm aware of it. My doctor's aware of it. It's strictly because of food, and then it comes back when food comes up. But it takes a while to recover that. So do we ever want to get to the point where we're impacting your hormones with food? No. There's no reason to do that unless you are going to be a stage competitor. This pays your bills and you're very aware of the risks and are okay with that. Those are the people you'll see doing this. But you have to understand that just because your body fat isn't as low as you think it should be, but you're getting hormone issues, that's okay. Maybe that's you. Maybe your body's not happy.
To be so lean that is the proximate cause for cessation of your cycle. I like that alliteration. Someone took notes there. We're gonna use that one later.
Keep that one.
Pew, right off that dome, hot fire, spitting beats. Sorry, guys. Finished up Wu-Tang American Saga. It was amazing. For your period to stop and for that to be primarily attributed to your leanness, you'd know. You'd be working towards it. You'd be aggressively in a diet. You'd be jacked and tan and looking awesome, and you'd know it. Dudes, if you lost your period, we got other issues. We'll figure that one out later. I'll scratch that. I'm not smart enough to figure that one out. We'll try to refer you to a professional. So that's that. Coach Steve doing check-ins on the interstate. Way to give the members the love they deserve, bro. Stay safe out there. Nell said it's just a little bit of energy. Murph, I hear you, girl. I totally ate for two, hence why I'm here. Monica says she's been calling them parasites for years.
I mean, they're feeding off of you.
But isn't that after you had them? Isn't that when you started calling your kids parasites? Coach Tasha's here. Hey, guys, sorry I'm late. Don't worry. Don't worry, Tasha. You missed some good stuff. You catch up on it. All the stuff you know. I know you, Coach. Nell says, I'll take no period for 2,000, Alex.
You know,
it's possible.
There are some people, you know, hey, I'm sure some people love it, right? Some people love it. Don't bother them.
There is a condition called the female athletic triad, and we could go into all the certain conditions that it's required to meet it, but amenorrhea for a certain period of time is one of them. And yeah, man, hormones are fat low, so low for so long, activity up high for so long, exist in a deficit for so long, you get brittle bone syndrome, you can get organ failure, you can get all kinds of stuff. Guys, just like our body weight didn't creep up overnight, female athlete triad doesn't compete overnight. That is something you will spend years trying, willingly, putting yourself through hell to achieve. Losing your period's a lot cheaper than $2,000. Just get that shot or whatever they got going around. That's gonna jack your hormones up in a whole nother way, but you ain't gonna spend $2,000, and you don't have to like risk seizure coma death, which is, you know, whatevs.
There are a couple other side notes to keep in mind. So you could lose your period from a lot of other things. So just because one month you're like, man, I didn't get a cycle, and what if I'm too lean, and what if I'm not eating enough? A lot of things impact it before you get to that point, because typically, you know, if you are so lean and it's so deep in a deficit that it impacts your hormones that badly, you know, or your coach can tell, or your pictures will show it, because you have to be fairly lean composition wise and in your photos to show that. Stress is a big one.
Look at Stephanie beat you to it, man. Stress
will do it. Overtraining and under recovering will do it. If you're an endurance athlete, even if you're not, if you are training yourself to death twice a day, 7 days a week, you're putting a lot of stress on your body, and that's a potential for messing with it too.
Guys, so. I'm not a doctor, but if you tell your coach that you lost your period because you're too lean and you haven't taken a check-in photo in 6 months because you don't like what you see, chances are it's not that. I had a coach one time tell me when I told him I had butt veins, he said, show me your butt. Because he didn't believe me. He said, if you're that lean, you're in a good spot. And I showed him my butt, and he's like, damn, nice butt.
He did. I took those pictures.
Show me your photo. Send me your picture, and I'll take a look at it. Because to lose your period because you're lean, you got to be really lean or something else is going on. Yeah. On that note, happy Friday, Coach Kim. Hot butts, that's what we're talking about. We changed the subject. Murphy said, per the hospital, my weight is down 38% from when I was admitted to have Maureen.
Wow.
They asked if I had gastric bypass. I said, better, I got first in. Boom!
No surgery needed.
We put that on the website. We're gonna get that right up on the website. I don't need no gastric bypass. I got first in, bitches. Anna says, there's unfortunately other problems aside from losing your period, like losing your hair and nails. Exactly.
Yeah.
I skipped over hair and nails. I went right to brittle bone syndrome. But yeah, kind of like when we talk about micronutrient deficits. You got bleeding gums? Probably okay. If not, if you do, we need to follow up with that. Yeah. Hair and nails. But a lot of these symptoms, and we'll talk about this in a second too, mimic stress. Why? Because a constant deluge of stress interrupts a lot of hormonal signaling too. Because again, the body feels like you are under attack. So you can have all of these symptoms, including hair, nails, and lose your period, and be at a healthy body fat percentage. So that's why, you know, it's really kind of one of those things. How lean is too lean? You kind of know if you're knocking on that door. What level of athlete are you? And in the context of the person who asked the question, Kelly, she runs tons of miles. So this is something she needs to keep in consideration, because her body fat percentage based on her activity level, if we're going by a number scale, may be on the higher side. It may be above the 10 to 13% threshold before she has to worry about it based on her lifestyle factors. Also, factor in additional stress and you're now redlining it too. So these are things to keep in mind, but you'll probably know if you're this kind of situation. Nell said that's epic. Not losing your hair and nails. I'm pretty sure that's about the gastric bypass. Murph. Kim said amazing, Murph. I know it only took getting her liver hacked on to get this kind of feedback from her doctors. I wish she could have got these props without that, but hey, I'm all here for the love.
Take
that Murphy
the wins,
got.
Right?
She said they were shocked. Murphy said they were shocked I didn't have surgery. Greg got defensive and was like, no, she worked her ass off. He's so sweet like that sometimes.
He's so sweet.
Good for him, man. He needs to be defending your honor. You know, I mean, listen. Hard work works. Let's reward that. Let's normalize that effort, man. I'm all for it. Val says, monthly cycle issues suck ass. Hear you, Murphy. Wow. I weighed in at 198 when I went in delivery with my boy, and he was 5 weeks early. I think I was eating for 3 or 4. And Val, it's not the number that impacts my head, because I mean, you know, that number isn't a big deal. The big deal is your frame and knowing you now, I couldn't imagine. So that seems like, you know, that seems excessive, you know, like you said, like you're pointing out, like you're eating for 3 or 4. I can't imagine what you felt like during that pregnancy, because that's some recipe for some back pain right there. I'm thinking, man, that could be lasting implications. So, you know, good for you figuring it out now. And now I see why that scale's a thing for you.
That's a big, man, we'll get into this on another live call if y'all want to talk about it. But that's another big myth that drives me crazy when people get pregnant and they're thinking, they're told, well, you need to eat for two and you need to eat all the food. And no, you need to eat enough food to keep you fueled to have a healthy pregnancy, to still be healthy coming out of your pregnancy, so that you didn't pack on 60, 70, 80, 100 pounds. Now you have a baby to take care of, and your body's not happy on top of it. It's not exactly like people call it.
Murphy throwing some digits down. She said, Val, I was 215 with Mo, and I weighed in at 122.4 Sunday.
Girl.
So you can see, guys, why the physician said what they said. Because
that's extreme.
We need to take a cross-section of people who have achieved that level of success and understand that you're in an extreme minority to not just have made that much progress, but to have done it sustainably and to maintain it and to still be pushing for more. That's why physicians freaked out. And I got to say, the law of averages dictates they probably were right to do so. So way to smack them down with that. Val said, I was so round, I didn't feel great. I got to imagine.
And then you're expected to take care of the baby you just had, and your body's already pissed off. Like, maybe let's not do that.
Coach Kim, y'all, she said, I cannot with pregnancy weight. 270 with my first two. Or with my first. 270. I could barely walk up the stairs. My blood pressure was through the roof.
Yep.
Kim, I can't even process that in my head because I know you now, right? And these are just these things, you know, that happen, right? Life happens, things happen, we do these things, and we have to spend the next however many years working back, undoing these things, which is where we're at now. Man, you ladies, y'all have so much success stories here, man. I love it. Anna Patterson says, I was at 198 myself. That was hard on everything, and trust me, that was not all baby weight. And I mean, Anna, we've met you,
yeah.
And you and Coach Kim and Murphy and Val, none of y'all are tall, you know? So it's not like this is a numbers game. It's a frame game for you. It's the condition you were in. Sounds like a lot of work on the body to carry that baby. And the effort put into it lets you guys know why the body shuts that down when it thinks you're starving. Because it's like, we're not going to be able to handle this.
The cool thing is, look at every one of you girls now.
Yeah.
And maintaining.
That's
it's
impressive.
Just, it blows me away.
I don't know if you guys know this yet, but everybody that's chimed in here has been fam for a while. You guys are all fake news. It doesn't matter. You guys are all fake news now. Everyone that sees you, they think you've never struggled. They think you've never overcame an obstacle. You never lost any weight. You've always been skinny, and it must be nice.
My favorite statement, must be
Everybody nice. Feels that way, guys. So you guys are all fake news. But damn, the stories that you guys just told sequentially in a row are just absolutely inspiring.
We're going to get together with you guys and do a little thing.
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
Fucking incredible that you guys, just these extremes that you guys have went to and where you're at now. It wasn't the other way around, right? You guys aren't on that side now where you're feeling miserable. You guys are all feeling awesome. So, man, you guys are awesome. Val, my OBGYN did ask what I was eating, and I was like, watermelon hot dogs. And he said, well, stop that. Solid advice, bro.
Hot dogs pack a whomp in a calorie.
Thanks, Doc. You got anything else I should eat instead? Go Murphy, kicking ass. Murphy says, Val, all thanks to the family. Nastasha says 230 was my high after baby.
Yep.
Tasha, you might be the shortest one here too, so I know that didn't feel good. I knew that didn't feel good for you.
Yeah.
God, man, y'all women are amazing. You know, I was 240, right? At my heavy, I was 240. And I'm not saying that I'm a larger, more muscular individual than y'all ladies are, but I'm a larger, more muscular individual than y'all ladies are.
And a dude at that.
And
so
it sucked for me. I felt like crap getting off the fire truck, trying to do work like that. So I can't, y'all are heroes, man. I can't even imagine. Anna said, my kids were 6 pounds, 6.9 pounds, yeah. And 8.8 pounds. That was not baby weight. There's something to that. Murphy says, I eat far more now than I ever did.
Yes, you damn sure do. It took us a little while to get you to eat, but now you eat and you love it. It's awesome.
Nell says, I got bigger with each pregnancy, but birth control actually made me gain 60 pounds. There's a lot of literature that backs that up. It's not that the BC violates the laws of thermodynamics, but man, the feels. And the hunger signals and the things that get swapped and your leptin and your ghrelin and everything, those are hormones too, the hunger hormones, they get knocked out of whack when you start manipulating hormones and your body loses all ability to control satiety. So that's why that happens. And that's real. I mean, that's not a your thought happened. That's some real shit. Tasha said, must be them good genetics.
Yeah,
well, we've all got some great genetics, don't we?
Dude, you know what? Not that it's a good reason, but y'all have stories about, you know, gaining weight because you're pregnant and had babies, and boy, I ain't got no excuse.
I wasn't pregnant.
I got no excuse for why I packed on pounds.
Boy. I wasn't pregnant, I'll tell you that much.
I was just eating like an asshole.
That's it, man. I love to eat. That's not my fault. I love to eat. Kim says, I keep picks at the ready for the must be nicers.
Yep.
Damn sure, man, I sure do. I thought I was the only person that had nothing but nudes on their phone. I'm scrolling through. Sorry, I'm naked. I'm trying to find a picture of a beach, but that's what they're for, man. They're to let people know. Murphy, I look like the penguin from the Batman movies. The Danny DeVito penguin? Wow. That's a hell of a Halloween costume, though.
Yes, yeah.
Nell said, Nastasha Brugger, how tall are you? I'm 5'2", and my high was 225.
So I want to say Coach Tasha's about.
Tasha's 5'2".
Yeah, about 5'2".
Yeah. Damn. Nell, I didn't know you were that short. Now, why would I have any idea, based on your Facebook, how tall you are? I don't know, but I probably pictured you at 5'6", like I do all females.
You know what this means, though, Nell? You need to come to the next reunion so we can meet you in person.
Yo. Everybody needs to come to that next reunion, and I'll tell you why. Because if y'all don't start coming to the next reunion, we got to get a smaller house. So if y'all want to stay in the house that we picked out, y'all need to come to the damn reunion. Stephanie said, baby making badasses.
No shit,
maybe we
man.
Should make that a first in shirt.
A little baby
making badasses first in shirt. Our dudes can wear it too, right? You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
They're totally different. Make a pair of silkies. Baby making badass right on them. I don't know about that. I think we're jumping the shark here. Nell says, I'm going to be in Florida just at Disney. We're going to have to figure this one out. We're going to have to figure out a way to cross paths. I almost said cross streamers like in the Ghostbusters, but you're not supposed to do that.
Don't cross streamers.
Don't cross streamers. Oh, gosh. all right, I'm going to try to read this. This is going to pop up and fill the screen, and I can't read it on the screen. I got to read it on this screen. So Val says, my boy was preemie and weighed at 5 pounds, 15 ounces. So, yeah, I was fat. Said honestly, such a long journey to get where I am now. I worked out too, but it wasn't until my food was in control that I started to see the results I wanted. Funny story too, my son saw a picture of me after having him and asked me who it was.
That's insane.
That's the testament to your progress, and that's what the scale that you get frustrated at, that you say doesn't show. Think about what it said before you had your kid.
Yeah, man.
It's saying a lot of improvement, Val, I tell you that.
And Val, this is side note while we're talking about body fat percentages, Val, because you and I had this conversation the other day. Guys, the leaner you are, the harder it's going to be to continue to get leaner.
Big
just
facts,
so you're clear,
yo.
Right? So we go through a lot of deficit cycles. I want to lose some weight. We go through a deficit. The first one's awesome. Second one's okay. Third one takes a little long. However many cycles you need to go through to feel like you want to be wherever you are, the leaner you are, the harder your body's going to fight to keep it. And that means the harder you're going to have to work and the longer you're going to have to work to get leaner than that.
And y'all have to get real with accepting, are you willing to put in that level of effort to reach that goal? You see Coach Steve, you see Coach Adam, you see Ann, you know, you see Coach Kim's progress, you see all these people crushing it. You see PJ, you see Jason Griffin, you see all these freaks in nature, you see Grayson flexing in the cryo chamber, and they go, wow, they're really lean. They've been chipping away at it a long time. They maybe came from a different starting point, and maybe the stars align for them to just hammer down and have laser-like focus. Maybe those stars aren't aligned for you right now, and maybe the amount of effort it would take for you to make the next incremental level of change, maybe that juice isn't worth the squeeze.
Yep.
And that's okay. But you need to let your coach know what your goals are, and your coach is going to let you know if they're congruent with human physiology and reality. And that's where we have to all be honest with ourselves. Are abs worth it? Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. Maybe they're worth it, but not now. Maybe they're worth it over the next 2 years. That's cool too. Inching forward is still moving forward. And it's damn sure not going backward. And that's the biggest thing we want to stop. We want to halt the yo-yo. Yo-yo no mo. You know what I'm saying?
And it doesn't mean that inching forward is not going to be not worth it to you. It just means that understand that every time you try to keep taking steps forward, they're going to be smaller and smaller steps. Your body will fight you because it thinks you're trying to kill it. Every time you take that body fat away, you're inching towards that, hey, I need body fat to survive. You're going to have to push it harder and harder and harder. And that's okay. Sometimes it happens in smaller and smaller amounts. I think a lot of that is the expectations. We go in expecting each deficit to be like the last one was. Well, if you had 70 pounds to lose and you dropped a lot, and now you only have 20, you're not going to drop that much and it ain't going to happen that fast. Right, it's been 7+ years. I'm still trying to inch towards where I want to be. Am I going to get there? I don't know. Maybe at some point it's not going to be worth the effort it will take or what it's going to do to my body. But for now, I'm okay. I'll take an inch over nothing or going backwards any day.
I lost 50 pounds. I don't want to lose another 50. I've got to find another way to measure progress. That's what we have to focus on. If I lost another 50 pounds right now, something will be wrong. I either got my legs bitten off by a shark or way too much water down in Mexico. It's not going to be a good look for me. So do I give up? Do I gain another 50 so I can lose another 50 so I can get those endorphin rushes? No. I find another way to advance. And that's what we have to continually do. We have to continue to evolve. Oh, man. Stephanie says, I wish I could go. No moolah. Catch you in the summer. Are you coming on the cruise?
Working on that cruise for next year.
Man, it's going to be bummed you're not going to be there.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I'm going to be bummed that everyone's not going to be there. But I don't think we have a house that could fit the entire fam. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That'd be cool.
And that'd be hard to cook for.
I don't know how we coordinate.
Yeah, that'd be rough, man. That'd be a lot of protein pancakes. Mike says, I got to catch a replay. Baby duty. Aww, get after it, man. Duty calls. Literal duty calls. Hold on for a second. Somebody thinks I want to talk on the phone. It's my mom. I'll have to call my mom back. Honestly, she should know better. She should know it's
a
fam jam.
It's a live call.
She should know we're having a live call. She should know it's date night. Murphy said, I wonder why I dropped so much weight quickly on my first deficit versus this deficit. That totally makes sense. Mind-blown emoji.
Your body wants to hold on to body fat.
Not only that, but there's a lot of factors in play there. But the more you have to lose, the quicker you can take it off until you have less to lose, then it comes off slower. Nell says, I'm struggling to add in workouts with all the shit I have going on here. School, mom, work, yuck. I need to get my shit together. I like that last part. I will say, though, people are still shocked as hell when I say I've lost all this weight just by tracking my food. We tell people this constantly. No one wants to believe me. I had someone tell me the other day, well, y'all must work out 8 hours a day. I said, bitch, please. Ain't nobody got time for that. I skip more training sessions than I make these days. Weight loss and the composition of the weight loss is controlled by and large an overwhelming percentage by your diet. How you look as you lose weight is absolutely influenced by your activity. If you want to look like somebody that lifts weights, you're gonna have to lift weights. If you want to look like a lighter and leaner version of yourself, you can do that with nutrition. Now, I need to get my shit together sounds great, but it's not actionable. What I want you to do is ask yourself, what is one tiny baby step you can do to get that shit together? And then I want you to do it, because knowing ain't even a quarter of the battle. F-U-G-I Joe, it ain't half the battle. Knowledge without action is fucking worthless. I need you to act. So, this would be the ideal Nell workout schedule. That ain't gonna happen. You ain't gonna get that shit together. Back it down to something you cannot mess up. You ready? Nell can do one body weight squat before she brushes her teeth in the morning. Mission accomplished.
If you guys are just listening to this and not watching it, you just missed it.
Jonathan did a bodyweight squat out of frame. It was perfect. It was flawless.
We're closed captioning for you.
Catch that replay. Find what you cannot possibly mess up and then do it until it becomes routine. Once it's routine, now you have another habit you can stack onto it. Maybe that first day, you only do one bodyweight squat. Maybe the next day you did two. Holy shit.
Doubled your activity.
You doubled your activity the next day just by doing a second squat. That is how it's done. Find a time in your day, habit stack it with something else you're already doing, and get something in. And it's amazing once you start doing one thing, how it can become more things. But as long as you continue to do nothing, it's probably going to stay that way. But beating yourself up, self-flagellating, you know, like whipping yourself, ruminating in your misery, that is never going to lead to a positive change. Just do something. Just do something. A damn table push-up. Just a jumping jack every time, you know, you check Facebook. I don't care. Find something you can't fuck up. Make that a habit and keep marching on it. And then you'll be getting that shit together one inch at a time.
That's exactly what I was going to ask. And I guarantee you, your coach has said this to you before. What can you do? I don't care what you want to do. I don't care what the ideal is, what's perfect. I don't care what you think you should be doing. What can you do? What will you do? One at a time, and then add from there.
That's it. And Nell says she's down for the cruise. You'll see me do one jumping jack on that cruise, I bet. Val says, Ann just needs to tell me to shut up and do the work. I mean, we can work on that. And I'm okay with baby abs. She knows I hate the ab workout. Is that what that is?
Yes.
I just want firmer legs, which we are working toward and may not be attainable. Everything's attainable, which may not be the time frame you wish it were. I'm learning to accept that too, like myself where I am. I love that, man. Guys, if you don't love where you're at right now, you ain't going to magically love it when you think you get to some mystical there. Happiness, it ensues, right? It's an internal sensation. You have to be happy with where you are and find ways to be happy with where you are. That's the only way you're going to get anywhere else. And if you think one day you're magically going to hit a body fat percentage and be happy, it don't work that way.
All right, let me tell you something, Val. I didn't wear shorts for the majority of my adult life. Because I hated my legs. Because I have cellulite on my legs. So what? This is largely genetic, and even coming back at 14.7%, even pushing that lower safe limit of body fat, I still had cellulite. Still had it, didn't go away, so I don't know what I would have to do to get rid of it, but I can't imagine being so upset and sorry for myself every day that I would not wear shorts in Florida when it's 120 degrees outside. Ain't happening, because I'm working to get better, and it's better. Is it going to go away? I don't know. I don't care. It doesn't matter. It's not part of the goal. The goal is just to get better. So the longer you work at it, the better you will get.
Awkward silence. Anna says, that was a hard lesson learned when I got down to really lean at 127. I thought that was what I wanted, but the insanity it took to get there was 100% not worth that miserable lifestyle. I look so much better now, and I'm nowhere near that starving weight.
Yep.
Guys, at the end of the day, I don't think any of us have joined this family to say, you know, man, I really hope I feel like shit one day.
Man, I really want to suffer every day.
God, I really want life to fucking suck. If anyone did, I haven't seen it on your intake form. Because we might like immediately push you out of the fam, because that ain't the vibe we're looking for right here. It doesn't mean that you can't look and feel awesome. Looking awesome without feeling awesome sucks. Feeling awesome without looking awesome, well, who's judging that? If you're feeling awesome, you're probably pretty fucking stoked on how you look. And that's kind of how that works. A fighter jet isn't fast because it looks badass. It looks badass because it's fast. The form follows the function, right? If we get you feeling great, if we get you moving great, if we get you living great, there's a great chance you're going to look great. And that is the foundational approach we take. Had an awesome member today message me. She's very new, getting her minimum fat goal, and she's like, I hope things get hard soon because I'm ready to lose weight. First sentence was, everything feels great, I'm so used to being deprived. And then says, wants the hard hit. And I said, maybe the hard thing for you is learning to do things differently. Maybe the hard thing is building a foundation. Maybe the hard thing is enjoying the season that you're in. Maybe the hard thing is building a skill set, a routine, a habit system that will allow you to achieve the outcome that you've spent your entire life trying to force before and have yet to find. Maybe that's the hard work you need to do. Not suffer because you think that's how it's supposed to be. Guys, if we get you feeling good, if we get you living well, if we get you moving well, I promise you do that long enough, you're going to look pretty fucking awesome. How do I know? I'm married to this one. And that's what she does. Murphy says, I started by walking my son to school. I park and walk 40 minutes round trip. It's made a difference. It's a simple, easy change for me to make. Hell yeah. Yeah. Kim said, I was shocked that I was annoyed when someone said I was called small the other day. Instantly, I thought to myself, I'm not small, I'm strong. Until that moment, I didn't realize how important lifting really is to me. That's been a huge change for you. Watching that change over the years and watching that become part of just an important part of your life has been so awesome, man. That's so damn rad. Steph says, I'm still there. I hate and don't wear shorts, but that's because they're fucking tiny. Working on them someday. Is that your legs? Because you were rocking way less than shorts at the reunion, girl. I got to say it. Nancy McGowan, I hate when life fucking sucks. Nancy, me and you, my spirit animal, my totem. You're my people. You're my people, dog. Nell says, hashtag ouch, Coach Kim has thrown me into that hard lesson from the jump. I said the same thing too, though. I wanted to get too deep too quick. And Nell, knowing what you know now, what do you think your success would have been like had we said, okay, sure, we're going to cut you to the bone because we want that 12-week transformation photo?
There's a reason we don't do that. How has that worked out in the past? Typically hasn't worked out so well, and that's why you're here.
Man, Nancy right here is dropping some fucking just sweet science on y'all, some knowledge. Y'all pay attention to this. Consistency is hard because life goes to shit and I am the constant. I don't go away when shit sucks. Worst thing in the world is life going to hell and then self-soothing with garbage food. Then I look and feel like shit, yet there I was for years. Lame. That is it in a nutshell, guys. You can never control your circumstances, but you can always control how you choose to respond to them. Life will hand you that shit sandwich. It is your choice whether you consume it blindly and make yourself sick on top of it, or you push it to the side and try to find something positive. You can never control everything, but you can always control your actions. And that is the constant. You are the one universal constant in every scenario you've ever experienced in your life. Good or bad, you have been there. If you're continually to experience bad things, what's the one constant, right? So we've got to always keep that in mind. Nancy, that was awesome.
I feel like that could be a shirt. I am the constant.
I like it. We'll put it next to baby making badasses. Steffi said, yes, legs, chicken ones.
You're working on them.
You're working on them. And that's what it takes. Yeah. It takes years to build a weak point up.
Yeah.
And why? That's because it's a weak point. It's because we focus on all of our strong points. Legs, everybody knows those guys that skip leg day. Good luck trying to play catch up when somebody calls you out for that because you're years behind the game. But you're starting now. It's good. Nell says, I'm glad to have the foundation. We are glad you have it too. So guys, imagine this. I talk a lot. We have one more question we want to dive into, and then we'll open up a free-for-all. But again, hot date tonight. Hot date. Need to get to it.
It's date night.
It's date night, and that means it's a great night. So this last question came to us from Grayson. I mentioned her earlier with her flexing, and I hit the wrong button. Let's go down one. Boom. exercise and the scale. Grayson had sent in a question to me referencing lactic acid and exercise and build up, and I said, hold on for a second. Let's reduce this a little bit, because when we talk about specific things like, you know, lactic acid, or, you know, we're talking about like a troponin level, are we measuring this, or what are we doing? She mentioned, you know, different buildups or whatever, and what we drilled it down to is exercise and the scale. Can training impact what we see on the scale? And the answer is unequivocally yes. It can have major impacts on the up, and it could have major impacts on the down. And what I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is, on the down, let's say we engage in massive amounts of endurance activity out in the hot sun, and we sweat a whole bunch, and it's something we're not used to, and our body's not used to it. Maybe we didn't hydrate efficiently. Maybe we just had some issues, okay? We get up the next morning, that scale could be super low. It could be like, oh my God, I lost 8 pounds. Yeah, you lost a gallon of water. You sweat a whole bunch, no big deal. Have a drink, it's gonna come all back in. What about the opposite? Let's say we increased our mileage. Let's say we went from sedentary to 5 days a week of lifting. Could that change the scale? Yeah, it absolutely caused an increase on the scale due to exercise-based water retention secondary to inflammation. And we were talking about this the other day, and you explained it really well. Go ahead without... I'm not going to let her go into the inflammatory cascade.
I won't go into
and,
the process.
And microphages and the lymph system and everything else and helper T cells. We're going to reduce it. We're going to make it simple.
Here's the very basic, simple explanation. So we get this a lot, right? You go and you work out really hard. You lift a lot of weight. You go and do CrossFit. You go and do some kind of hard, intense session. Get up the next day and the scale's up. And you're freaked out because you hit your food. You hit your goals. You did all this working out. Now the scale isn't playing nice. Let's think about what happens when you get hurt. Your body has processes to heal itself and to recover itself. If I go out and I'm walking down the road and I step on something sharp and I cut the bottom of my foot open, what happens when you get a cut? That area swells, right? You get a little swelling. Why? To heal. The things that heal your body, your wounds, your cuts, your aches, are all in your fluid, in your body. Your little healing cells roll around in the plasma in your body, and it has to get to the area to heal it. So, what happens when you work out? You are effectively damaging your tissue when you work out. The goal when you lift weights or do any kind of resistance training is to create tiny micro tears in your muscles. Why? Because as you tear them and they repair with enough fuel and food, if you're controlling your food like you should be here, they get a little bit bigger. You get a little stronger, they get a little bigger as they repair. But to repair themselves, they need that fluid. You're still getting fluid shifts into your muscles. Tear the muscles down, put the fluid in, repair it, move on, get stronger, get bigger.
So we should make that a TikTok rap.
It's a
tear the muscles down, put the fluid in, and we can... No?
Yeah, sorry. See? It's exactly the same process, guys. Your body knows that you are breaking it apart. It knows it needs to heal. Shift some of that plasma and that fluid in there to help heal it. Go to sleep, wake up heavier. Why? Because you're holding on to all that fluid. It shuttled it into the places that you worked the day before, the 2 days before, however your body reacts. It's normal. It happens. Days after we lift, I'm always up a pound or two. Days after jiu-jitsu, I'm always down a pound or two. It doesn't matter. It just means that your body is reacting to something you did.
You guys want to test this theory out? This weekend, I want you to go out.
I feel like it's going to be a bad idea.
Somewhere. Could be in your yard. Could be the pool. Could be the beach. The mountaintop. I don't care. And I want you to wear as little clothing as possible. I want you to set the timer for 2 hours.
Oh.
And I want you to get sunburnt AF.
I'm going to go ahead and say we are not condoning this action. This is Jonathan being Jonathan.
And I want you to step on the scale the next day. Get systemic global body inflammation and see how much water you retain.
Little gross fact, not going to get into too much detail. Burn patients. When you get a burn so severe that your skin is burned, either off or it blisters or it's open, they release a lot of fluid, a lot. Why? The body's trying to heal and it's trying to get all that healing fluid into there. Same thing, you get sunburn, you feel swollen because you are swollen. Your skin is pissed off.
So before I was so rudely interrupted with a grisly burn image, I want you to now take that sunburn concept and I want you to turn it inside out. And I want you to put that damage on the inside because you just did some stupid ass, 12 wad series because, 75 hard or some shit. And you just tore everything down in your body. Do you think you're going to have some systemic healing that may need to be shuffling all the little healing cells that Nancy McGowan loves.
I love those things.
It's going to be shuffling all those little healing cells all over your entire body. That's where that fluid retention could come from. So exercise, especially changes in exercise that you're not accustomed to, or varied modalities like Ann said, lift goes up, BJJ goes down due to hydration. These things can absolutely lead to water retention and changes on the scale. And what happens over time? They become a constant as long as that activity remains constant. So when Ann goes up after training, she goes up after training every week. When she goes down after BJJ, she goes down after BJJ every week. And no one make a smart ass comment about that because I just realized what I said.
Welcome to First In.
It all comes out in the wash, and it all becomes averaged over time. Yeah. You feel? Kim says, Coach Kim says, if I go out naked and get arrested for science, I'm calling you for bail money.
We got you.
Kim, if you want to go out naked, you just got to find the right beach. Next time you're down here, I point you in the right direction. I know one that's close by.
I've got one of those.
We have one close by. Nancy McGowan, oh my God, everyone with the 75 hard. It's everywhere. It is everywhere, except you're not going to find one person who actually does it. I'm sorry, you're just not. That two sessions a day, one has to be outside, that's fantastic until it's 900 degrees or it's raining or snowing. Get out of here. You know who doesn't do 75 hard? The guy who came up with it. Take a look at that guy. See if you think he's actually 75 hard. Murphy says, I've gained 8 pounds from surgery. 8 pounds. I wonder why. It's a pound for every inch incision, not counting the stealing of one of your organs and nicking another. Yeah. Of course. She says, I know it's temporary, it'll go away, but it's crazy what your body does when you have any type of injury. Happy healer cells, helpful healer cells, whatever the ladies are calling them. I need to be told what to do. I suck at exercise. Man, if only there was a program.
That
could help you out. If only there was a group for that. If only there was like a place where people that wanted to get fully involved with their training could go. I don't even know what would happen. You might be able to find some direction in a community of positive people that could help get you accountability and get you going, Nell. We'll have to talk about that next time. Maybe next time we open up open recruitment for fully involved training F4D. Kim later, Jonathan told me to. Murphy says, Kim later, Jonathan told me to. Famous last words.
Yeah.
Nell, I said no one make a comment, but since you said it, I got the Finn Live listeners. She said, get it, Ann. It's going down for real.
You know, rest of the night, that's all I'm going to hear, right?
I mean, like, it is date night. Nell said it.
It is.
I'm going to leave it there like that. Murphy says, oh, shit, you're right, it is. Thanks again, Dr. Douche Canoe.
Murphy, did you just hit a pain pill, Murphy?
Shit. On that note, guys, free for all. If you got a question, ask it quick. If not, we're going to get on out of here. I'm timing you. I know there's a delay.
At your sound effects.
That was pretty bad, especially with all the hashtags that are going on. You know, like I said, a lot of these things, they central around this one current theme, this one thing we always battle every day, and that's the scale. Don't let that thing define you. Don't let it control you. It is just a unit of measure we use in the grand scheme of things. The scale is great at telling you a couple things. It is great at telling you trending over time, over the long term, because all those little bumps get smoothed out in a trend. It is also great in telling you how consistent your life is from day to day. It does not tell your self-worth. It does not tell you how good you did yesterday. It does not tell you who you are as a person. It is a unit of measure. Do not let the unit of measure, the metric for measuring progress, become the goal, or else it is flawed. I don't know what Nell's saying. Don't ask all at once. Murphy says 1 pound for every inch of my incision. That's what you're right about. And yes, I did take my meds. There you go.
Yep.
There you go. Dr. DC in the house. Val says, go have a great night. I'm saving this Finn Live to revisit so I don't drive Ann crazy.
Oh, you can drive me crazy anytime. It's
maybe
fine.
We'll just save the link. We'll save the link and we'll slap it in some emails this week coming out so everybody gets the benefit. Guys, thanks so much for being awesome. Thanks for hanging out with us, spending your Friday with us, letting us spend our Friday with you. And let me drop a whole bunch of F-bombs and say cool stuff like it's going down after BJJ. You guys are awesome. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for being your bitchin' ass selves with baby-making badasses and I am the constant t-shirts we got to come out with. And thanks for being first in, guys. Take care. We'll see you soon. Nancy McGowan, it is date night. And on that note, we out. Take care, guys. Bye.